This episode is brought to you by Flowers by the Queen Miley Cyrus. Can't wait for the new album.
Welcome back, everybody, to My Fave Queer Chemist. I'm your host, Beck.
And I'm Geraldo, and we are really excited to share this interview with our first ever undergraduate chemist. So buckle up and enjoy.
So with that, here's our show.
Hello, everybody. Today, we are so excited to introduce you to an awesome chemist and actually the first undergraduate student that we have on the show. Would you mind introducing yourself?
Yeah. Hi. So my name is Ethan Chavron. I'm a third year chemistry student at Cal Poly Pomona. So that stands for the California State Polytechnic University, Pomona. My pronouns are he, him, his. I am a part of Dr. Sieber's lab at Cal Poly Pomona. So we're a inorganic chemistry group and our projects vary from person to person, but my project focuses on synthesizing NHC complexes for reducing greenhouse emissions and potentially CF activation.
Oh, that's exciting. I love emissions and I love fluorine. So I love that.
Yeah, Geraldo's the right person to talk to you about that.
Which is great because I haven't really done my research about it, but I'm super excited to be on the project now. So yeah.
Yeah, nice. Sounds really cool. Cool. Welcome.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. Jumping right into it. So as you mentioned, you're currently completing your undergraduate studies at Cal State Poly Pomona. So can you tell us about how you first got interested in chemistry? And then what has your experience been at Cal Poly, especially being part of the LGBTQ community?
Yeah, so I honestly, like, applying to college, I was just like, I don't know what I really want to do. I kind of just set on psychology because I was like, oh, I could become a psychiatrist and, you know, maybe figure out my own problems by learning everybody else. But I realized, like, I had to do a lot of volunteering work, and, like, not to say that I'm not one to, like, do it, but I just didn't think that was the right path for me. And so I kind of went through this period in my junior year where I'm like, I don't really know what to do. I was highly considering business, but, like, I knew, like, in my head, I did not want to be sitting at a desk and, like, typing in numbers and just being on Excel sheets and just, I don't know. And business just doesn't make sense to me.
And spoiler alert, if you want to follow a PhD, there's a lot of Excel sheets and a lot of numbers.
No. Like, I understand that.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. I don't know. It's something about business that just didn't appeal to me. But it wasn't until I took my chemistry course in high school that I really started to, like, get into chemistry, and I kind of started to see, like, my intuition kind of took over, and I was like, yeah, I think I could probably do this in college. I think it'll be fun, see what happens. So I applied to, like, all my colleges as a chemistry major, and then I chose Pomona, and I'm really happy with my choice. It wasn't until my second year that I started to get involved in undergrad research, and that's when I started to realize what kind of path my career can go into and what kind of career options there were for chemists out there. And it really wasn't until my third year, the year that I'm in now, until where I started to get involved onto the campus and, like, the different resources that they have. So while I'm not specifically, like, involved in our Pride Center on campus, in terms of the LGBTQ community, I'm a part of Science Council, which proceeds over all of the clubs that are affiliated with the College of Science at Cal Poly Pomona. So that includes OSTEM. And I'm also part of the chemistry's DEI committee. So the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. It's our first committee that the department's ever had. So I'm super honored to be on it. So yeah, that's, like, I know that I sounds like I'm rambling on, but, like,
No. You're totally good. You answered our questions for us.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Perfect.
Okay, so you are additionally pursuing a minor in culinology. So yeah. Can you share with us where that interest comes from? And then how does it relate to your chemistry major, if any way?
Yeah, so culinology it's kind of hard to describe, but I kind of see it as, like, a mixture of food science and culinary arts. And Cal Poly has, like, one of the top hospitality and culinary schools in the country from what they published. but I just really want to be like I want to take the culinary classes, but you can't take the culinary classes over there without being like a hospitality major. And so I started looking at minors because I knew I wanted to minor in something. And I stumbled upon culinology, and culinology requires you to like take general chem, O-chem, and makes you require, or it requires like food chemistry as well. And so I was like, well, I'm already completing these prerequisites for my major, and I get to cook and I get to learn about like world cuisine. So honestly, I'm just doing it as like a fun little bit, because like while I take like my chemistry like studies and career like very seriously, there's also like a fun part of me where I'm just like, I just want to do it because I want to do it, and I shouldn't have to like drown myself in studies because I think this is going to get me like super far ahead. So that's why I decided to like minor in culinology, and it was just kind of like taking a piece back to myself and making sure I have fun in college.
Yeah, I honestly, yeah, that's a great thing to say, because when I was in college, I took a lot of chemistry courses, but I also took a bunch of courses that did not have to do anything, because like, you know, I'm in college, just have fun with it.
Yeah,
there has a lot of classes that you would never think of taking if you know you weren't there. So,
yeah, that is so cool though. What is the like coolest culinary class that you've taken so far? I'm like so intrigued by this.
So, I haven't started my culinary classes yet. I had to take like a food technology type of like course before I take my culinary classes, and that was really interesting to like understand like how different foods are processed and what kinds of different foods there are out there and how like candy's made. And that was really cool to take like a food technology class. But in terms of like culinary classes, I'm going to start taking them like this next semester.
Oh my gosh, that's exciting.
Yeah, I know, I'm excited. Yeah.
Very cool.
Cool. So yeah, so switching gears a little bit, you mentioned you've been doing research in this Deeper Lab. So can you tell us about the process of how you found this research group to work with, and then how your experience has been working, you know, doing research while also taking your classes and moving forward with your degree as an undergrad?
Yeah, so this is also kind of a long story too, because I feel like there's so many components to that question. Mm-hmm. So I'll just start off with how I got involved with the Deeper group. So it was back in the summer of 2021, Dr. Stieber, along with a couple other professors at other universities, formed this group. It's called the Remote Supergroup for Undergraduate Chemists, or for chemistry undergrads. And it was a weekly seminar that happened throughout the summer. And every week they would either bring in like a speaker to focus on their own research, and then they would also include a component of like DEI in there. And so I went to that for the summer of 2021. So that's where I found out about like Dr. Ball's research, Dr. Yoon's research, and just like different professional development seminars were included as well. So after, I want to say it was Dr. Yoon's talk about his research. So after Dr. Yoon gave his presentation about his research, we had the opportunity to go into breakout rooms to ask Dr. Yoon questions personally. And so I was just like, usually I'd log off, but Dr. Yoon's research was just like really interesting. I've never heard of like photochemistry before back then. I was just like, oh, I'll stay around. I'll see what's happening. And so Dr. Yoon was super, super nice. And he wanted us to like tell us, you know, like what school we go to, if we're involved in research, what research group we're involved in. And I was just like, hi, I'm Ethan. I'm a second year from Cal Poly. And he's like, what research group are you involved in? I'm like, none. And that prompted another person in the breakout room to be like, oh, well, if you go to Cal Poly Pomona, like I'm in Dr. Sieber's group, like half of her group is graduating. You should really reach out to her, which was kind of surprising to me because I was friends with a person in Dr. Sieber's group prior to this whole summer seminar thing, and he never told me about it. And so I texted him like, hey, is it true that like Dr. Sieber, like half of her group is like graduating? And he's like, yeah, that's so true. I'm like, oh, is it, can I like write her an email? Like how I'm interested in getting involved in research on campus. And obviously, like my first year of undergraduate studies was from home. So I want to be a part of chemistry, like, or I want to be part of the campus because I've never really been part of campus life. It was really hard to transition into being back in person. So I knew if I like made a settlement somewhere, I could like feel comfortable and feel confident to go back in person for classes. And so yeah, so he helped me draft an email to Dr. Sieber. Dr. Sieber is like one of the nicest people I've ever met. And she was just like, yeah, I'm looking for people. And if you're interested, let's set up a Zoom meeting. And so that's how I like got involved with the student group. And I went into lab for the first day, and I was running a reaction for the first time. And on the first day, I was like, guys, this is like my first week of school. It's a lot to take in. And so yeah, that's how I got involved with Dr. Sieber's group. But in terms of like balancing lab and classes and extracurriculars, the fall of 2021 is like one of the semesters that really sticks out to me because that's when I like really developed severe anxiety. I developed some depression as well. I honestly think I can contribute some of it to like being in isolation and then going right back into in-person classes or being on campus. That was the real thing. So like a lot of my classes were still online, but being on campus, I just forgot how to like handle things like extracurriculars and courses, because in high school, like I could handle that like A, B, and C, like no worries. And so that whole semester was just like a really rough semester for me for a couple different factors, but it resulted in me like withdrawing from two of my classes. And I honestly think it was just because I had a really like hardcore schedule. I was taking OChem physics, linear algebra with the labs corresponding to it, and then lab on top of it. While lab wasn't like a necessity for me to go in, I wanted to go in because it felt like the only thing that was stable in my life. You know, like, oh, I knew I could go to lab between from like 8 to 10 or like 8 to 12 on these days, while the rest of my life was kind of like going into different pieces. But what I learned from that is that it's A, first of all, the lesson I forgot, definitely okay to ask for help. You can always ask for help. And B, like acceptance of failure. You know, you don't have to be perfect every single time you try something. And you should really use those lessons to grow from it. And I think that's just something I'm really going to carry throughout my life. And it's taught me a lot about me as a person and how my ambition is, how my resilience is to like really get to the place that I want. Because I want this degree, right? I was considering switching majors and like possibly dropping out, but I was just like, that's not what I want for myself. Like, I want to have a chemistry degree. I want to be involved in research, and any way I'm going to do it. That's just the bottom line.
Yeah, that's, I mean, thank you so much for
Yeah.
sharing that with us and like
Yeah, I
being
know it was a
so.
lot.
No,
No.
it wasn't a no, it
No,
was
it's
just the
great.
right amount. It was really great. Thank you for
Yeah.
sharing that with us. And I think that you have a really interesting perspective that is part of like the reason why we wanted to try and get more undergrads to be on the show also, because,
Yeah.
you know, graduate students, professors, the pandemic was very different, I think, for us. It was still very hard, but it was very different than for undergraduates. So that was
Yeah.
a really like nice and not nice, but like kind of interesting perspective that we haven't really talked about on the show is like what that kind of like drastic transition from like being completely online, especially at the like for your first year of
Beginning.
undergraduate, that is so difficult. And then like immediately like jumping into like full class schedule, research, on campus life, everything like that. Like I can't even imagine like how difficult that must have been. And so I thank you for kind of sharing your perspective and your experiences with that.
It's impressive, honestly.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
And I'm glad that you stuck through and that hopefully you're in a better place now.
Things. Yeah, it was the pandemic was a little different. So like I didn't really get a real graduation, and so because I was still a senior in high school when the pandemic hit, and so my school district didn't really like, I don't know what happened, but like they were just like, the instructions from my high school were, we're gonna post worksheets, everything's optional until like the last 2 weeks of the semester, and that's when we had like classes start up again. And even then, since I was a senior, most teachers knew I was a senior or knew that they had seniors in the classes, and it was just studying for AP classes by that point. And so a lot of them were like, we're going to have review sessions, you can come, but they're optional. And like I went to them, but it's not like a real class setting, you're not learning anything new. So being, I was pretty much out of like a learning environment, whether in person or virtual, until I went into my first semester of college. And that was even a little different. But even just like being back onto the campus, that was still different because a lot of people knew like features of the school and how like the school operated, while I was still kind of like left in the dust and sort of a bit. Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine. Thank you again for sharing that.
No problem.
Do you have any advice for other undergraduate students that might be interested in doing research, but they're not sure about, how to go on about that?
Yeah, so honestly, like just talk to other people. I know for like people who are naturally introverted, that might be a little harder. So it would be really good to like make close friends within the same community, same department that might have a little bit of knowledge of what kind of research is going on campus. One thing that I've actually learned that was really helpful was being a part of fellowships that are offered on campus. So I was a RIO fellow, which is like research through inclusive opportunities. It's a fellowship that Cal Poly Pomona offers that pairs you up with a specific research mentor. And luckily, I already had a mentor by then, but they held workshops and seminars talking about like how a paper would get published, what you should do for a literature review. And that was actually one of the requirements for this fellowship, was to produce and write your own literature review based off of the project that you were researching. And so they kind of taught you how to, just like look for sources, how to write something. A lot of it was really catered to like social sciences and liberal arts studies, while there were like a good chunk of people that were in STEM fields. It was like we started to realize that like the STEM field did things differently rather than liberal arts. So like our literature reviews are shorter, and our paper shouldn't really include what we're researching because it hasn't been published yet, and just stuff like that. But nevertheless, it was a great experience overall. And one of the requirements was that I would present at like the first for my first presentation, which was like a presentation conference on campus. And so it just kind of like pushed me and made me realize like, A, what goes into research, what kind of things are expected from you, and B, it kind of just guided you through the steps of how to become a researcher, right? And so I think that would be like a great opportunity for other undergraduates who are looking for research opportunities. So get involved in fellowships. Emailing professors, it's always great to email professors. Whether or not they get back to you, it's still great to to reach out and make an effort, because then you know that you've tried, like it, you miss every shot that you don't take. And as cheesy as that sounds, it's absolutely true. Like I'm applying to like some of these RUs for the summer, and I'm like reading the description, and I'm like, I don't think I would be good for this, or like I don't think I meet the qualifications. But like that's just like imposter syndrome like getting to me, like you have to realize your self-worth. Everyone is special in their own way, and everyone has a specific and unique characteristic or talent that they can bring to the group, a different perspective, which is why science is so collaborative. I love the fact that science can be so collaborative. And it a lot a big part of that is just having self-confidence, and it's hard for people to realize that because it's obviously a challenge for a lot of people, especially me. But kind of just once you get over that hurdle, nothing can really stop you, you know? And so that would.
Amazing.
Yeah, I love that.
Amazing.
I love
So
that.
inspirational. And I
just want to add one more thing to what you just
Yeah.
said, and is that, and I, you slowly learn this with your career, but you're not expected to know everything, right? And most of this, like REUs, your undergraduate research, even when you graduate research, you go in the lab to learn how to do research. Yeah, you know, because if you already knew the skills, then you wouldn't need to go there into it. So it's, you
Yeah,
know, it's all
exactly.
about a lot of learning. Yeah.
That's a great point you brought up because like when I went into Zebra Lab for the first time, like I didn't have any lab experience because this was literally just like based off of my general chem classes and my online labs. Like I didn't have any techniques. I'm like, Dr. Sieber, are you sure you want to take me on? Because I'm like, I don't know anything. And she's like, Ethan, this is all part of the process.
Yeah,
And this
that's the
is,
whole point of all
and I
this.
loved how welcoming she was and how willing she was to teach me everything, you know?
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
awesome.
Yeah, I loved
That's
it.
awesome. And yeah, so for the listeners who don't know what an REU is, an
Yes.
REU is a research experience for undergraduates, and it's funded through the NSF, right?
There's some
Yeah.
NSF, mostly NSF. I think NIH funds some, but they're a different
Yeah. I
name.
think some are privately funded too.
Yeah,
But
but
yeah.
they're an incredible opportunity, especially for people who go to smaller schools. So maybe not like the big fancy like R1s or big fancy private schools to get like really good experience. I'm doing research in a bigger lab setting. Both Geraldo and I did REUs in college, so we're
Yeah.
like total like advocates and like cheerleaders for
Yes.
REUs. I think it's like such an incredible opportunity for undergraduates, and it's just kind of like a fun thing. You get to like go and leave your school and your city for a summer and go work somewhere new and learn a
And
bunch of new things there too.
they pay you and they pay you housing.
Yeah.
Most of them, yeah, I don't say
And they
all of
pay you pretty
them.
well.
Yeah, they pay you
So
housing, they pay you money to live that summer, and you get to learn new chemistry or science, whatever you're doing. Like visit a new city that you might have not visited before. I'm gonna plug a very shameless. Is that what you say? Shameless plug? I don't
Yeah,
know.
shameless plug.
The University of Puerto Rico, the school I come from, has an REU. So if anyone's interested, those applications are open, and the deadline is February something.
You
Look
know
it
what? I
up.
think I saw something about that. It's for medicine, right?
No, it's there's a chemistry REU at the
Oh,
University of
okay,
Puerto Rico.
awesome.
Yeah, and it's really cool. The professor that runs it is like a really great professor that I love him. So yeah, shameless plug there. Sorry, go on.
Amazing. Okay, so kind of going along with your what you're telling us about the research through inclusive opportunities fellowship that you had or that you have, you also have a National Science Foundation, Louise Stokes Alliance for Minority Participation, LSAMP, long name
Yeah.
fellowship. So can you tell us about kind of what the process was like applying for these two different fellowships? And then I know you kind of talked about it a little bit, but what these awards and fellowships offer to young researchers, especially in the beginning of their careers as scientists.
Yeah, so like at first when Dr. Sieber was like, oh, you should apply to the RIO program because that was the first fellowship that I got for the year of 2021 to 2022. I was like, oh, okay, because you know, like if she says it, I should, right? So I did it. It was great. The application process was pretty easy. Honestly, I just plugged in my name, like my what I've taken so far, who I want as a research mentor. They had like a little catalog of who was accepting students and just basically like a contract saying that if you're accepted, we will you have to like attend these seminars, you know, just basic requirements for these types of programs, which is like one thing about the RIO program that was really great was that so Cal Poly has this like research distinction award, and that's if you do research for 6 months, publish something in like their own research repository, which is called Bronco Scholar Works. And then if you present at a conference, so the conference that they had on campus. And so all RIO fellows are expected to complete all of those requirements. So that leads all Rio fellows to become research distinction awarded. And so I thought that was great because you're just basically setting up your students for success at that point. In terms of LSAMP, that was a little different. So LSAMP, you just have to insert your basic information. First, find your LSAMP coordinator if you have one on campus, because I know LSAMP isn't everywhere. And so Cal Poly is lucky enough to have a LSAMP coordinator, Dr. Loss, on campus. He's a part of the biology department. And he also runs a program called SEAS. It's for science majors. And it's just enhanced educational opportunities that he offers to STEM majors, as well as like a community room, you know, like on campus amenities or whatever. But he's also the LSAMP coordinator. And so Cal Poly has two programs, LSAMP Inspires, that are both funded through the NSF. And they're just both research opportunities for students to get experience, right? And so I applied for LSAMP and I just entered in my basic information, but I also had to do a research proposal, which is great because I just talked to my mentor and we were like, okay, this is our plan for the research proposal. And then I turned it in, and then before I went back to school, I was notified that I was awarded. But for LSAMP, I think the requirements are you have to take a class every Friday, which is great because this class reinforces professional development, how to apply to for grad schools, and what to expect and what you should want for yourself for graduate school. You know, because graduate school can be a very confusing time when picking them. And a lot of people like put materialistic things in front of themselves or set them as a high importance rather than themselves. And what I've learned talking, especially from Beck and other people who are in a PhD program, like you really just have to put yourself first, you know, and this class really enforces it, but also touches on the industry side, what you should look for in a healthy work environment and how to interview. And it's just all professional development. And it's really great. And I'm really happy that I'm in the LSAMP program because it's what it offers.
That's awesome. That sounds like you're totally being set up like on multiple different, like in multiple different
aspects,
aspects of your undergraduate studies. Like it sounds like you're being set up completely well, like for total success in graduate school and beyond. So that's really exciting. That's really awesome. It's really cool that your school has a lot of those like opportunities and importantly, like funding and all those things to support the development of undergraduates. That's so important. And I think every school that serves undergraduates should have
something like that.
Resources like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like one of the biggest contributing factors to why I chose Cal Poly was that since it's a polytechnic school, their whole motto is learn by doing, right?
Mm.
And so I knew I was going to be able to get firsthand experience from this university, and I knew it was going to open a lot of different doors to my career, honestly. And so I'm very happy to be going there.
Yeah. I know that you mentioned RUs, but have you thought about what you want to do after you finish your undergrad studies? And do you mind sharing that with us if you have?
Yeah. So while applying to RUs, you know, they really want you to like distinctively tell them like what you want to do with your career, right? And I'm like, I'm only 20. Like I still got a long ways to go, guys, but thanks for making me think. And so while applying to RUs, the last application cycle and this application cycle, it made me really start to think of what I want for myself, what kind of research areas that I want to go into, what kind of field I want to go into. So I know I want to get a PhD in inorganic chemistry after my bachelor's, right? And that's great because I already knew that it's what I wanted. But afterwards, that's where like the harder part comes in, right? Because like, what do you want to do with your PhD afterwards? Like, do you want to go into academia, industry, communications? Like it's the have the whole world in front of you.
You have plenty of time to make that decision. You do not have to make that decision right now. I know it's like, I remember very stressful, like applying for fellowships, even like applying for like RUs or grad school or like NSF. Once you end up like applying for that, it's like you have to like put in concrete words, like this is exactly what I want to do after my PhD. But I feel like a lot of people don't really know until like halfway through grad school, maybe, or like, you know.
I mean, so, if you do great for your right, if you do great, but you don't have to know.
So you have plenty of time.
I feel like inorganic chemistry is just like, for me at least, like it's so interesting. There's so many different things that you can do. So like right now, my plan is to go into or develop like organometallic catalysts to aid the production of HIV and AIDS medications. So while I'm very fortunate to be living in a time where we're able to take a pill and not have HIV be the most worrying concern when it comes to sex, the medications can be definitely harsh on people's bodies, especially for people whose bodies are a little bit more susceptible to disease. And so that's why it's so critical for HIV and AIDS research to continue, not to mention the virus is continuously mutating as well. So it's not just we have PrEP and that's it. No, this research needs to go on. And while I don't think I specifically want to be involved directly in HIV research, I want to be able to contribute to the field as much as I can. And so I want to develop catalysts that will aid the production of medications. In addition to this, I'm really interested in FLOC elements. And so they have like really cool bonding patterns, or like not patterns, but like they can bond in like really cool ways. And the fact that like some of them are like, I don't know, radiochemistry is really cool too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah, I think that's really cool. In addition, I want to see if like the catalysts that I develop in my career can be used for like energy storage or like energy conservation, because we rely too much on fossil fuels. Like it's not cool to like be polluting the earth, guys.
So it sounds like, I don't know if this is on your list, but it sounds like the Sanford Lab is great for you.
It sounds like you should apply to the University of Michigan.
If you don't mind the West, we make a bunch of catalysts. We are a great organometallic group. We have a great collaboration with the pharmacy school, doing PET chemistry, doing radio chemistry. We do radio fluorination, radio cyanation. We do a bunch of radio chemistry.
Geraldo,
it's not an ad for your lab, but
maybe drop the link and I'll see.
I know,
it.
Right?
Geraldo's plugging both of his institutions today.
So yeah, that's where I kind of want to go. But aside from like chemistry, like I definitely want to have a career as an activist for the queer community as well as POC communities. And I definitely want to tie in my activism into my chemistry as well. So I think along the lines of that would be like HIV and AIDS history education as well, because I feel like that's not really talked enough about in our own history classes, because we didn't really touch on it in my high school history. And I feel like it was such a really big and fundamental crisis epidemic in our country, and it's, to me at least, it's very sad to see all those lives lost and not have one bit of recognition for their names, you know.
Yeah.
And the way I learned about the epidemic and the AIDS crisis was just like I just kept hearing really bad things, and it kind of like really added to the trauma of being gay. But I feel like we should definitely break the stigma that surrounds HIV and AIDS, vocalize that we have medication out there for people who do turn out positive, in addition to ways to prevent infection as well, and ultimately to destroy the stigma of not having sex with HIV positive people. You know, you equals you, undetectable equals untransmittable. And I feel like that's a lesson that really isn't taught in queer education for queer youth. And I definitely want to be involved in my community for the queer youth in terms of education.
That's awesome.
That's so nice.
And
yeah.
hopefully there will be lots of opportunities for you to continue to develop that part of yourself and your identity, like throughout your chemistry career. Mm-hmm. I mean, Geraldo and I have done, I think, a pretty good job, at least, at trying to make sure that our like queer activism and our and our interest in queer representation and things like that are still kind of at the center of our chemistry career. So hopefully that will end up being the case for you too. So
and the thing really is exciting. We've learned that if you can't find the space, you make the space, right?
Yeah,
if you have the time, if you have the resource and you have the support, you create the space. Because obviously when we started this show, we didn't have this, you know, before that, and we just decided let's just do it, and here we are almost 3 years after that. So
you kind of just have to create your own community at some point,
right? Exactly.
Exactly.
So that's what I want to do. I'm kind of excited to see where it takes me, and
this awesome. Last year it will be a lot of writing essays, a lot of statements, a lot of applications. There are a bunch of programs, so
Okay, so one of our last questions, who is your chemistry or science role model and why? And you can have more than one.
Okay, so I would definitely have to say like my PI, Dr. Chantal Stieber. She just really encompasses what it means to be a scientist and what it takes to be like, I would definitely say like an accepting scientist and a modern scientist, because I don't know, like historically, obviously queer people don't like get the recognition that they deserve in the science community, especially when you're a person of color. But with Dr. Stieber, it doesn't really matter where you come from, what your identity is. All that matters is that you're able to learn, you know, and you're passionate for the things that you do, and you bring a uniqueness to the group. In addition to this, she's just really smart. And I just want, I want her knowledge, but I think she really exemplifies everything that I want to be when I eventually want to like transition into academia and become a role model for other undergraduates. I want to be caring. I want to be an example for them. And it's just, I want to like advance the definition of what it takes to be a scientist. You know, like I definitely didn't know I wanted to be a scientist when I was younger. Like it honestly wasn't an option for me. I was just like, yeah, science is just something that I take, you know, it's not anything that like I could see myself pursuing until like I grew up a little bit. But I think that's, she's definitely one of my role models. Sorry, I got a little sidetracked. But I don't really have any other specific role models. Honestly, the most influential people that I've had in my life are definitely my educators, especially in high school. So Diamond Bar High School is like, it's very heavy on educational like standards, and they set like a status quo what you should be or like where you should be in high school. It's kind of rigorous educationally, but all of the professors or all of the teachers there are willing to do whatever it takes for the student to get where they need to be. They understand how capable a person is, and that's just something to me, at least, like that really had a big impact on me. I remember my trig teacher, Miss Koo, could not get trig down for the life of me. And so I went in after school and during lunch pretty much every single day to like learn trig. And something that really stuck out to me was just, she never gave up on me, you know? And that goes for a lot of teachers that I've had in my life. And I would have to say teachers are like one of the most influential people, because they set the example of what kind of person you should be and what it really takes to be an accepting and inviting person.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I know that doesn't include like every single teacher out there, but for me at least, mm-hmm. those are my experiences. I'm very blessed to have inclusive teachers.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. I get into like these deep moments where I'm like reflecting back on my life. Like I'll
That's
snap
good.
out of it and I'm like,
No, you're fine.
That's good.
So yeah, that's that.
So yeah, our last question is, where can people find you if they want to connect with you?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram. My Instagram is Ethan_Chavron. Chavron's not easy to spell. So it's Ethan_Chavron. And you can also find me on LinkedIn. Let's connect. That's the lingo, right? For LinkedIn to
yes.
connect.
Yes, I think so. I think it is. Yeah. Honestly, I don't know either, but
yeah, let's connect. Let's build a professional development. But yeah, so those are my socials that I have right now.
Well, awesome. Thank you for joining us and talking with us and, you know, answering all questions.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me. I'm super honored to be like the first undergrad here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
And I hope this isn't the end for undergrads. I hope.
Yeah, no, I know.
You get more
if you're listening. If you're listening and you're an undergrad, hop on that nomination form. We would love to have you on. So.
Yeah. That nomination form came in clutch. Let's be honest.
Awesome.
I was too afraid to like text or DM Beck on Twitter. I would be like, hey, I don't know if you remember me, but
I'm glad that you filled it out and that you took the time out of your evening to talk to us.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Thank you so much. I appreciate both of you.
Well, thank you.
All right. Well, take it easy. Have a good night.
You too.
Bye.
Remember to fill out the nomination form on our Twitter if you're interested in being interviewed for the show. You can follow us at MFQCpod. Take care, everybody, and stay safe. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Adios.